This is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. And today I'm continuing in this walking in Jesus section of the Salvation Road talks that I've been doing now for quite some time. Today what I want to look at is the armour of God. We want to understand what the armour of God is. We want to recognise that we are at war in the spiritual realm, if you didn't know that already, and that it's a war for our souls. And we want to learn how to use the armour of God to fight this war that we are in. So overview of this session is that this session builds on the last one, which was all about knowledge. One of the things we all must learn and know is that we are at war. The battleground of this war is in the hearts and minds and the spirit of those who believe in Jesus Christ. But God has provided us with weapons of warfare to be able to fight and to win this war. Like soldiers, we need to learn what weapons we have and how to use those weapons to defeat the attacks of the enemy, who is the devil. So the first scripture I want to have a look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So the first thing we must understand and remember always is that as Christians we are at war. We are fighting for our eternal salvation. Our life depends on winning this war. Thankfully, as we have found salvation in Jesus Christ through God's grace, so too God gives us the things that we need to be able to wage this war in the spirit. It's not against man or flesh and blood that we are fighting. We are fighting the devil and his servants and his designs aimed to tear us down and to take away the life and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. So God gives us all of the equipment we need to armour ourselves against the wiles of the devil and to conquer him. Not through our power, not through our strength, but by the power of God and through faith in Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit in us. We'll go over into the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verses 11 to 18 where we see what this armour actually is. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So here we see a description of the armour given to us by God. Each of these pieces of armour that a soldier takes to prevent injury or death are similar to the spiritual armour God gives us to preserve our life and our salvation. The parallels are interesting too, so we'll look at each of these pieces of armour briefly to see what they are and how to use them in the fight against the forces of evil arrayed against the people of God. And it's evident from the first verses of this section that the war we wage is not a physical war where we can see our opponents, it's a spiritual war, and thus we must rely on the weapons of the Spirit to overcome the attacks of the devil. And this is something that we have to remember all of the time, because our enemy is not the flesh and blood people we see around us. Our enemy is not humankind. Our enemy is the devil, and he is the one that is driving humankind to do all evil things, all of the things that are opposed to God. So the real enemy, the true enemy that we are fighting, is the devil. We need to remember that at all times, because we don't know who the Lord has his hands on. We don't know which of these people who are currently our opposition and are currently fighting against us, that the Lord may choose to turn around and bring to him, and they will become an even stronger proponent for the Lord than what they are as an opposer right now. So let's go and continue on and start looking at these weapons of warfare, these pieces of armour. In John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36, we see these words. Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever, the son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The first of the pieces of armour that we saw back in that scripture in Ephesians is to gird your loins with truth. We need to wear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the new covenant to protect us from the lies that the devil throws at us. We must understand the truth and listen closely to the word of the truth so that we are not led astray by the sneaky and conniving traps of the devil. And we must remember that the devil is the most cunning one of all. Holding fast to the truth is essential if we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. But to hold the truth, we must sift through the lies that have infiltrated into the church through the work of the devil. We must understand that the truth will make you free. This is one of the key things that we need to remember. For the devil seeks to bind and to destroy. Thus, any teaching that does not lead to freedom of the heart and freedom of the mind and the spirit is not of Christ, but is devilish. The next scripture we'll have a look at is in the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 2 to 10. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does right is righteous, as he is righteous. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God commits sin, for God's nature abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. When we go back to the armour in Ephesians chapter 6, we see that the soldier's breastplate was designed to protect his vital organs from attack. So too, the breastplate of righteousness protects us from the attacks on the vital things we need to know and understand. Most importantly, we need protection from sin and condemnation that would tear our heart away from Christ. Righteousness has been given to us as a gift by the grace of God through faith. We must hold on to the knowledge that God has declared us righteous by faith and not allow the devil to attack us by making us believe we are sinners and falling into condemnation. When we condemn ourselves, we turn away from the righteousness and leave ourselves open to the attacks of the devil. When we hold fast to the righteousness that we have by faith, we are protected from his evil ways. So when we hold fast to this righteousness by faith, we are putting on the breastplate of righteousness. But if we turn away from that righteousness, then we're taking it off, and the flaming darts of the evil one can attack us and they can destroy what's vital to us. The next scripture is in, there are three scriptures actually I want to look at. John chapter 16 verses 32 to 33 first, and then we look at John 14, 27, and then Ephesians 2, 13 to 18. So John 16:32-33 says this, The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, every man to his home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said to this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then John 14:27 says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And the final scripture in this section is Ephesians 2 verses 13 to 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Now, in case you haven't already worked it out, these three scriptures are all talking about peace in one form or another. The salvation we have is by faith in the knowledge that Jesus has already won the victory for us and has overcome the world. When we stand in Christ, we have his peace rest upon us. The peace of Christ is internal, and when we hold fast to his peace, nothing external can take it away. We remain in peace, and the turmoil and troubles of the world do not affect us. His peace is strong, and so we can stand without troubles, without fears or problems in our hearts. Jesus has brought all of his people together in peace so that there is no hostility. Furthermore, in Christ, we have peace with God, no longer his enemies through sin, but children of God through righteousness and grace. God has brought us to himself through Christ so that we may have peace with God and with one another, and his peace rests upon us. And as we see, one of the pieces of the armour that we saw in Ephesians was his peace. And peace needs to rest upon us. We need to walk in peace. We need to be in peace. The next scriptures that I want to look at is in the first letter of John, chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. And then I want to have a look at a couple of scriptures in Hebrews chapter 11. So 1 John 5, 4 to 5 says this: "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2 says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval." Then going down in Hebrews 11 to verses 32 to 34, we see this: "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became might in war, put foreign armies to flight." One of the things that we see in these scriptures is the power of faith. Faith is the most powerful force in existence. By faith, we can find eternal life in Jesus Christ. And it's by faith that we overcome the world, and faith gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. The shield of faith can quench all of the attacks of the devil. Like a soldier's shield, we can stand behind our faith whenever the devil attacks and remains victorious. It is faith that assures us that all of the promises of God will be received and will be fulfilled. It was through faith that all of the prophets of old and the apostles and the people of God received the ability to be victorious, even in situations that otherwise seemed hopeless. God designated faith as a means by which we could stand before him. And through faith, he will fight for us so that none whom he chooses will be lost while they hold fast to their faith. The next scripture is in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 9. "And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast." Now all of mankind live under the power of sin. All mankind is doomed because of sin. All, that is, except those who come to God through Jesus Christ and receive the salvation that he offers. It's holding on to the hope of salvation in our minds that helps us remember all God has done for us. Like the helmet of salvation, it's in our minds. It covers our minds. We walk in the hope of salvation now, and so we are saved from the attacks of the devil. And in the future, we will receive the salvation of the Lord to eternal life. This salvation is offered to us through the grace of God. There is nothing we can do to earn it, and we cannot work to receive it. It is a gift of grace to those who have faith, and we must remember the offer of salvation, holding on to it as we walk in Christ Jesus. I want to move on now into, I've got a couple more scriptures here, one in Revelation 19, verses 15 to 16. And then I'm going to have a look at one in Romans 8, verses 12 to 15, and then John 14, 25 and 26. So looking at Revelation 19, 15 to 16, we see this. From his mouth issues a sharp sword with which to smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we see in Romans 8, 12 to 15. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, when we cry, Abba, Father. And then in John 14, verses 25 and 26, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, there is often a misconception about this scripture in relation to the sword of the Spirit that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. It's not the Spirit that is the sword, and that's where the misconception is. Some people read that and they talk about the sword of the Spirit and they believe that the Spirit is a sword, but it's not. It's not the Spirit that is the sword, but the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who then takes the Word of God as the sword and he wields it on our behalf. In this first verse in Revelation 19, we see the two-edged sword issuing from the mouth of Christ. These are the words of the Lord, for it is his words that protect those who have faith and trust in his words and cut to pieces those who oppose him. It's the words, it's not the Spirit, it's the words, the Word of God. How we use this sword is shown in the Romans 8 verse. We need to use the power of the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh. If you look back at previous sessions on walking in the Spirit, this process is described in more detail. But what is necessary is to know the Word so that it can be used by the Spirit to fight on our behalf when he needs to do that work of spiritual warfare. And finally, in the last verse that I read in John 14, verses 25 to 26, we see that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance all that the Lord has taught us. However, in order for the Holy Spirit to bring these words of God that are the sword of the Spirit to our remembrance, we must first learn those words and have them deeply embedded into our mind and our spirit. Then the Holy Spirit can effectively use those words as a sword to be able to defeat all of the attacks of the evil one. It's an important thing to realise that. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word so that we actually are arming the Holy Spirit with the sword to be able to wage warfare in the spiritual realm. The next scripture I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The aim of the armour of God is to give us the victory in Jesus Christ. The armour enables us to stand in the sight of God and to be victorious over the designs of the devil. When we wear all of the armour of God, and this is an important thing, we have to put on all the armour of God. We are strong and we can withstand any of the devil's attacks. But it's critical, as I said in the first part of that Ephesians verse, it is critical we put on the whole armour of God and not rely on just one piece or another. Seek to understand what the armour is and how to use it. This session's just a taste. You should go and study all you can about each of the pieces of armour and seek to understand. So the final scripture I want to look at is in Luke 11, verses 21 to 23. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger one than he assails him and overcomes him, he takes away his armour in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. So finally, what we see here is that when a man is fully armed and ready, he can guard what is his own. That is how we are able to stand when we are fully armed in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. But if we are weak in any of these ways, then the devil may prove stronger and try to overcome us. So learn the armour and apply it in your walk with Christ and in your whole life. A couple of questions to think about. Do you understand that as a Christian you are at war, not with people, but with the evil forces in the spiritual realm? And secondly, can you see how these pieces of armour can protect you from the attacks of the devil? As a quick call to action, go back through the sessions and find the one on walking in the Spirit. This is one of the key defences that will help you fight the devil. And also, pray always and seek the Lord as you walk, for while you draw close to God, the devil will stay clear of you. And as a prayer point now, spend a few moments in prayer to seek the Lord for greater understanding of the war you are in and the weapons of spiritual warfare God has provided that you may effectively fight and wage that war. So that's it for this session. In the next session, I'm going to lead us into a different area. We speak about walking with the Lord, and the word walk suggests moving forward, not standing still. So the next session I'm going to look at is going to be looking at progressing in Christ. So that's it from me for this session. I'll see you next week. I pray that you have a great week. And this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off and wishing you a blessed week.